morning, instead of having us stand and greet each other, I'm going to invite Stephen to come up and tune his guitar for something, because I want to show you something kind of cool. But before we dive into God's Word, let's pray. Abba, Father, we want to thank you for being a God who is real. When we talk a lot about doing things, and we've been talking for quite a few months now about spending time with you on a regular basis, and in some ways it's easy for us to treat it as if it's just a time to do religious activities and be religious. But thank you, God, that you're showing us through the testimonies of people like Matt in our own lives, that when we turn to you, that you are a God who makes a difference, that this whole 60-60 thing that we're doing isn't about trying to look religious or to try to do the right thing, but giving ourselves to you, giving you access to us. And God, we humbly believe that in our weakness, that you still love us and you accept us. And so, God, would you speak to us this morning? Give us a simple message. And thank you, God, for the encouragement that you give us through each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. As you know, we've been going through a series over the past several months about how imperfect people become all that God intends. And one of the things I've been trying to have you think about is what would it look like if you could look back 2 or 3 years from now and look back and you could be free from fears, from anxieties, from worries, from bitterness, from envy, from lust, from comparing yourself to other people, from fear of rejection by other people. If you could be free from the need to live for other people's approval, if you could be free from being easily hurt or angered. Now, I know it sounds like I'm trying to sell you on something, but the truth is that every person in this room, kind of like what Matt was talking about, desires to experience this kind of life, not just drifting through life, but really a life of freedom. And so as we talk about these things, the difficulty is that a lot of times when the pressure's on, we tend to do the opposite of what we hope for in life. The issue of character, when we talk about character, you hear that a lot thrown around a lot of the times. And when we talk about what kind of person am I, on the surface a lot of times we look like everybody looks like they're a pretty decent, nice, kind person. But the problem is when the pressure's on, when you're under stress, when you have difficulties in your life, that's when your true character is tested and revealed. And a lot of times, unfortunately, for all of us, including myself, the tendency is that when the pressure's on, we reveal the opposite. We aren't really free to be the kind of person we hope to be. And so, of course, the question we've been talking about over and over is, how do you experience freedom? How do you experience the kind of life to become what God intends for us to be? And we've been talking about over and over that Scripture has been showing us that God is the one who causes the growth, and that our only job is to stay connected with God and to be willing to allow Him to work His will through us moment by moment. And so that's kind of what Matt was talking about, that, you know, we try and we try and we try and we fail and we fail and we fail. But the reason why is because we try so hard from our own strength. And so I want to take a quick look at how does freedom practically develop. And so you can see I have Stephen on stage over here. And I'm going to force Stephen to kind of show you a couple things. Stephen, why don't you play for us something that's like Jimi Hendrix-ish. Not bad. Pretty nice. How about if we switch gears for a moment and have you play something that's a little bit more jazzy or bluesy? Not bad. Let's switch gears one more time. Let's switch to a completely different direction. Let's hear you play something that's a little bit more country-ish. Pretty good. Thank you, Stephen. Sweet home Alabama. For all of you who are from down south. As I'm tormenting Stephen, you know, it's funny. I could toss up any of our musicians on stage, someone like Stephen, like Ben, like Brian, or Cheryl, and you know, they can do all these kinds of things that I am unfortunately ungifted in. But the question I ask myself a lot of times is, why are musicians so able to freely and effortlessly make music, you know? And the issue, of course, is intentional practice. We see it again and again. You know, we see the fruit of Stephen playing, like being able to switch gears into all these different styles of music and watching his fingers do these incredible things. But that's hours spent practicing scales, studying music theory, learning to do very simple things. He had to spend hours learning to position his fingers in the right place so that he could make simple chords. And at first, it's unnatural and sometimes even painful. For those of you who play guitar, you know that you need to develop those calluses. But eventually, it becomes a habit, something habitual that they can do easily. And so all that disciplining of themselves to do all these kinds of things, our worship teams come, I don't know if you know this, come every Saturday afternoon. They spend like several hours, like for what's only like 25 minutes worth of music, they spend 3 hours practicing. And it all felt forced at first. But in time, it becomes second nature for them. It becomes a new habit. In terms of music, they are truly free to experience it the way that they should. And you might remember a couple weeks ago, the last time we were talking about this subject, we were talking about how, yes, God does the work, but we need to create the right kind of soil, the right kind of environment, so that we can stay connected to Christ. And that this is a critical issue for us. And so we talked about two key elements that kind of add on to your 60-60 experiment as you spend time with God every 60 minutes throughout your waking hours. And the first was that we would develop running partners. You find somebody that you can trust and start with a grace-filled, truth-speaking relationship of authenticity with somebody that can help you reflect on and discern what is God's Spirit trying to do in your life. But the second piece is, like musicians like Stephen this morning, that we need to build into our lives intentional practices. And what I mean by that is certain exercises and disciplines to help us be habitually the kind of person that helps us to stay connected with Christ and responsive to the Spirit of Christ in our areas of growth. Especially because a lot of times, you remember we talked about having an autopilot, that our habitual practices kind of tend to take over, our habitual responses tend to take over in moments of difficulty, stress, or when our character is tested. And so, even when we recognize sometimes that the way we react to certain situations or certain people is not the very best, the difficulty is that over time, it becomes a habitual habit. We tend to fall back on our default. And we find that it's difficult and that these habits that we've already developed are powerful and almost impossible to change. So even when we're aware of our need for intentional practices, this is what everybody tends to do. We tend to try to tackle the surface level external habits, but we don't fix the issue. For example, before I became a Christian, many of you know that I went through a lot of different stages of really bad stuff, and the last one, which seemed like the lightest to me but the hardest to give up, was smoking cigarettes. And you know, my strategy when I first became a Christian was, well, you know what, I'm just going to tackle the external habit, just stop smoking. But that doesn't actually fix what's going on. And here's why. You see, all of us, we're constantly developing what we call character, our spiritual qualities, in either a positive or negative direction. And so it's kind of like more than just the external habits of what you're doing, but there's this whole internal mess that's going on. It's based on the things that you believe about God, about yourself, about how to deal with life. It's about these beliefs informing what you think about a lot of the time. And when all these thoughts that you have shape your values and your attitudes. And so there's all these internal factors that are guiding the practices that you exhibit in your external behavior. And so over time, these things become habits, which is what forms your character. And so one of the things I want you to hear this morning is that external habits that you have are formed by, and they're merely an expression of, your internal state. And so you can't fix the problem, you can't fix your issues if you're just trying to fix the external behavior. You see that problem? When we only try to tackle the external habits and behaviors, you're failing to deal with the root causes and patterns that are going on inside of you. You can temporarily remove maybe the behavioral problem that you have, but inevitably that habit will return, or sometimes it reemerges in a different form or a different kind of behavioral problem. And so the failure is that we don't deal with the causes and patterns in our lives. And so many of you know what this looks like. You know how it works. A lot of times many of us will make this constant vow. Okay, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to look at this anymore. I'm not going to respond to people anymore this way. I'm not going to talk to my wife this way. And we make these constant vows, but we find in our own power we can't do it. We fail again and again, and we go through this cycle of guilt and shame and beating ourselves up, right? And we try to vow to try harder the next time. And then when we fail again, we sink to an even lower feeling of greater weight of condemnation that's been heaped upon us. And so around and around we go until finally most of us give up, and at some point even give up on God. Paul understood this, the Apostle Paul. And the passage we're going to look at very briefly in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Before that, in Romans 7:15, he talks about how he's unable to do what he wants, to please God and to experience life as God intends for him to the fullest. But instead, he does what he hates. And in the beginning of chapter 8, Paul talks about how I need to start addressing the internal issue. I can't seem to fix these external behaviors and character flaws that I have, and so there's an internal issue going on here, and the primary foundation isn't that I need to try harder. I can't try harder to keep God's laws by my own effort, but I need to realign myself with the belief in this truth about Christ, that the basis for change comes from Jesus Christ's redemptive work on the cross. And so that he delivers me from that condemnation where anybody is blaming me, not God, and not even myself. I don't have to do that. And it breaks the cycle of our failure and shame and having to try harder and harder and failing again. And then he talks about in verse 4 that when we accept this truth, what happens is that we're able to live by his Spirit, which is what we've been talking about this whole time when we talk about doing the 60-60 experiment. And so we can live by his Holy Spirit instead of living by our flesh or by our sinful nature that we came with. And so the key to developing deep character change and deep character in our life is not focusing on the external behavior and trying harder, but to interrupt our autopilots, the response that our autopilots want to do by intentionally reordering how we deal with life and focusing on the internal issues and our internal state first, so that we can respond to God's Spirit and so that we can allow him to grow us. And so the question, of course, is how do we reorder our internal soil so that we can go deeper? And so here's where the intentionality comes to play. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind led by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are led not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Let's stop right there. What is Paul's point? There's only one thing I want you to get out of this morning's message. When Paul talks about these things, his point is that it's all about where we set our minds. Now, I know this sounds a little contradictory because we've been telling you that growth is about what God does in your life. And now it sounds like I'm telling you, well, you got to do something. But once again, yes, God grows the plant and buds the fruit, but you are the one who chooses what kind of soil is going to be there and what kind of soil is inside of you so that God can bear fruit. And so as you set your soil into a certain direction, if you follow Christ, we believe the truth that we're no longer condemned in Christ because of all the sinful things we've done in the past, but we're now accepted by God, even when we fail, and we're free to live by his Spirit and to develop practices where we can set our mind on things that his Spirit desires. And so the key here is just verse 5, where it talks about you will live according to your sinful nature if you're setting your mind on things from that sinful nature. So your lifestyle, your behavior, your feelings, your desires, the habits that you develop are going to be ruled by your flesh, because these are the things that guide and shape what our minds are dwelling on and where our minds are focusing on. Does your sinful nature, does your flesh regulate your principles for life? Think about like this way. This is how you can tell what your mind has been dwelling on. When I'm at a moment where I'm facing a crisis of character or a situation that stresses me out or frustrates me or wounds me, do I let my anger take over, my hurt, my frustrations, my boredom? Am I ruled by self-gratification? Do circumstances and people around me have the power to determine how I feel and how I respond, how I live and how I act? Then that means you're letting your mind focus on the fleshly things, the sinful nature things, to dominate your responses and your habits. The contrast is that those who live in accordance with God's Spirit can do so because you have put your mind on the things of the Spirit of Christ, things that God is interested in for your life. You see, most of the battles that you have are going to be won or lost depending on, even before you get into that situation, what you're doing with your mind. Before you even get into that situation, that's how that tests your character. That's what you need to be focusing on. Are you preparing yourself for that moment that requires you to be able to respond to God's character and His Spirit, or are you just running on autopilot and allowing yourself to respond as your flesh and your body and your mind and the earthly things and earthly desires lead you to do? Pastor Carlson, who was a guest speaker a couple weeks ago, kind of talked about this issue already. He brought up in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, this is why that Paul says to us, you know, we don't just want to copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but we need to let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think, by dwelling on things in our thoughts and in our minds. Then we'll be able to know what God wants from us, what His will is for us, and how to discover His good and pleasing and perfect will, what that really is. And so the issue here is, are we intentionally and preemptively preparing our minds and hearts so that we can experience everything God wants for us? Are we intentionally preparing our minds and hearts by what we fill our minds with is the issue. You heard from Matt's testimony this morning that all of us are in the same boat. You know, all of us wrestle with these things, that these character defects and these flaws that we have and these temptations and these things that our flesh desires that aren't pleasing to God. And we can choose to either fill our minds up continuously with those kind of things, or we can turn to God like Matt did and give God a moment to be able to prepare our minds with His Word through prayer, through those kinds of things, and to fill us with things of Him. I want you to think about for yourself this morning. When you come home from work, or when you come home from school, you have several hours before you fall asleep. What are you filling your mind with? I know guys who, you know, this is not after hours, but early in the morning, before they get, I know guys who get up early before work, have two or three cups of coffee, and they power through reading the newspaper. The entire paper, they'll read from front page, world headline news, all the way through comics and sports, and all the way to like the you know, classified ads, and they'll read the whole thing. And in that time, not that I'm trying to guilt trip you, but I'll just tell you, you know, if you can read through a whole paper with an hour, you know that the New Testament is actually probably shorter than reading through a whole paper? And so the question is, what do we fill our minds and our hearts with? And I'm not trying to tell you you've got to get up every morning at 4:30 and read the entire Bible from Genesis through Revelation. That's not my point. But the question is, what are you spending your time filling your mind with? What about when you're not doing work, when you're actually at work or school, when you're not, you know, doing your actual job? What are you filling your mind with? What are your thoughts dwelling on? Are you investing into your mind and heart things that lead to self-gratification, to selfishness, to being cruelly sarcastic with people, to being slanderous? Are you dwelling on thoughts of anger and lust and envy and violence and things of poor quality and laziness, the shameful things that often move us to form habits? And we wonder why we can't break some of our character defects and the behaviors that we experience. You see, when our instincts and external habits are ruled by the things that we put into our mind, this is the reason why you see in news headlines that children are sexually molested from time to time in a newspaper. Why? Because people just can't control themselves. This is why when people, sometimes you and I, when our tongue is trained to lash out from our feelings of hurt or anger or criticism, that damaging words flow naturally, even though I didn't mean to say that. This happens to us because we are programming our minds every day, every night. And it's up to you. What are you setting your mind on? See, as you expose your eyes and your mind and your heart to various things, you have this thing going on in your brain. As you're looking at things, as you're reading things, as you're listening to things, there's these synapses in your brain that are firing, and new memories and information files are being formed in your brain that you can access that help form these thoughts in your mind that will shape who you will be, how you will choose, and how you're going to eventually respond to things. And as you keep filling your mind with these same things over and over and over, you start developing a habit so that as you start responding to things in a certain way, these become a habit over time. But change and growth can happen in Christ, as we refill our minds and our hearts and our thoughts and dwell on things that are pleasing to God. And so here's a measuring stick for you. This is what I personally use as a measuring stick of, am I using my mind to dwell on things that please God, that will fill me up, that will shape my character and my external behaviors? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us to put our minds on those things that are true, that are lovely, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are admirable, that are excellent, that are praiseworthy. I compare what I'm dwelling my mind on to this measuring rod. And that doesn't mean you can't do things that are fun or that you can't, you know, enjoy yourself and relax and maybe read fun news articles on Yahoo or whatever. But I am saying that, you know, percentage-wise, I doubt that most of us in this room could say that 50% of the time we're spending our minds on praiseworthy things, on noble things, on right things, versus things that are base, things that cause us to dwell on anger or dwell on lust or envy. How are you preparing your mind? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the literal translation. It doesn't translate well in the NIV, but it reads like this. This is what it literally says in Hebrew. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is, or so he becomes. And so my challenge for you this morning is, next week, we're going to talk about intentional practices that we can practice out in our daily lives so that we can start breaking, replacing old broken down habits with new habits that help us to experience life the way Christ intends. But this morning, your challenge is, before you can deal with the external behavioral problems in your life, that you got to release up that internal soil. And the way we do it is by dwelling our minds on things of God, by purposely, intentionally setting our minds moment by moment on the things of Christ. And that's what makes a difference. And that's this whole reason why we're doing this 60-60 experiment, so that we will practice and learn to set our minds on things of Christ. And so as you reorder your life to dwell on thoughts of Christ and submit it to Him, you know what? You're going to find that your external habits and behaviors will stop controlling us, and that in time you will actually start to discover freedom. But it's a process. Will you be willing to soften up the soil of your mind? Let's pray. God, we are looking forward to how you will change us. And we hear about it, but a lot of times we're frustrated because we don't experience it. We ask that you would help us to stop trying to look at our character defects and problems and behavioral things that turn into sin, and trying to just fix those things. That, God, would you help us to become willing, soft soil for you? Would you help us to see that it matters, the diet, the mental diet that we're chewing on in our minds every day? It's easy to become desensitized. And we wonder why we don't experience you or why we don't hear from you. And so, God, would you help us to find the kind of freedom that only Christ brings? In Jesus' name, amen. This morning,